so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I'm going to begin this message on this. Don't Limit God, part 4. And the sub is Believe for Increase. Believe for increase. And the verse of Scripture says, Beloved, I wish above all things, wow, above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I want you to be in health, he's saying, and I want you to prosper, even as your soul prospers. Now, the problem is especially in the 90s and the 90s and the 80s and even in the 2000s, there were a lot of prosperity preachers that preached out of context and preached that God just wanted you rich. Well, you know, I disagree with that. I believe God wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now, I believe, now here's the problem. We Christians have a tendency, and Pentecostals, charismatics are the world's worst, that we go from one ditch to the other ditch. We don't want to stay in the middle. We want to get into one rut or the other. You know, well, there was one thing wrong. Bam, we go to the other one. You know, and oh, bam, and we just keep going back and forth. But somewhere along the line, you gotta get in the middle and keep it between the ditches. And so, so I want to talk to you about this issue that believe for increase, but not just believing for increase, because for the past three or four weeks, we've been talking about taking the limits off of God. But when we talk about taking the limits off, we tend to focus on just the increase of material. The increase of materialistic. The increase of physically, mentally, and spiritually. We ought to talk about the increase of it all. Because let me tell you, just in case you're new in the town, I have been labeled quite a few things. And it's okay, I'm comfortable in my labels. I've been labeled crazy, number one. I think that's the one that's most used. And I'm comfortable with that. I've also been labeled intense. I'm okay with that. Unique. I'm real good with that. I've been labeled a prosperity preacher. And I'm okay with that because I do believe that you should prosper even as your soul prospers. I've been labeled a holiness preacher. And I'm good with that because I believe in holiness. Amen. I've been labeled as a holy roller. And yes, I do roll on the floor from time to time. I'm okay with that. I've been labeled as a tongue talker. And I'm good with that because I do talk in tongues. And I've been labeled as a dancing preacher. I'm not sure what's worse, a dancing preacher or a dancing bear. But I'm okay with that because I can still drop it like it's hot. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I've been labeled a Bible thumper. I'm okay with that. I've also been labeled with preaching greasy grace. And I'm okay with that because I know I don't preach greasy grace. You can't come to this church any length of time and think that I preach that you can live any old kind of way and still make it to heaven. I still believe that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And I believe that not everybody who calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. But I'm okay with that. So whatever label you want to throw on me, if it's in the Bible, then I'll say I'll take it. Because that's what I want our church to be. I want us to be biblically based. All right? So when we talk about, we get nervous when a preacher preaches on finances or a preacher preaches on increase, because for whatever reason, when preachers preach on salvation, the congregation believes it's for them. When a preacher preaches on salvation or healing, yep, that's for the congregation. But for whatever reason, when a preacher preaches on increase, you think it's for the preacher. All right? So you know, we're not really going to deal with money, but there will be some issues that we'll hit. So just let me tell you that whatever, we're not taking up another offering. We don't manipulate. We're not beggars. We're believers, right? We don't manipulate. I can tell you that we are on target for our budget. We're good. Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and brag on y'all for a minute. You know, we bought that property last year. We had to put $100,000 down on the property. And so, you know, anybody that knows finances, was not in the budget. So we should have come in $100,000 in the red at the end of our fiscal year, which was August 31st. And to God be the glory, we didn't come in the red. As a matter of fact, we came in $50,000 to the good. Hallelujah. And that's after building a church in Uruguay and a women's center in Uruguay and doing all kinds of ministry, right? Amen. So you know, and bump your neighbor, tell him and say, oh, that's because of me. Why? Do you give that much? Well, no, not that much, but because I'm a giver. So collectively, yeah, we gave that much. Come on. Amen. That's exciting. So I'm not doing a series on finances tonight, but I will. I may do it before the end of the year. I don't know. But I haven't done one in a couple of years. Where's Becky? I haven't done one in a couple of years. I usually do a series on finances, but I will get to that. I'm feeling the leading of the Lord to do that. But I just want to talk to you. I wanted to give you that information so you don't think that we're trying to pull a fast one on you. Amen. You know, I've been in church services where I was going to give an offering, and by the time the preacher got through talking, I put my offering up. You're like, man, you're just trying to manipulate me. I don't play that. Amen. Hallelujah. So anyway, I want to share with you God's ultimate intention for increase. What is His end game so that we will be more eager to take the limits off of God? We've been talking about taking the limits off of yourself to complete yourself so you can take the limits off. Because the devil wants to limit you, but God wants you to know there is unlimited. There is an unlimitlessness in Him that you can have what He says you can have. You can do what He says you can do. The devil wants to shackle you with your past and shackle you with what you've been through and allow what you've been through to define who you are. But what I went through is not who I am. I am who God says I am by the blood of Jesus, by the word of the living God. And what I've been through was just that. It is what I went through, but that is not who I am. Who are you then? I am who God says I am, not what the past says I am, not even what the rest of the people say I am. I am what God says I am. And if you could just get that part in your mind, you are not defeated, you are not weak, you are not worthless, you are not useless, you are not all the things that people said you were. You are the righteousness of God. You are a bright and shining star in the hand of God, and He can and He will develop you and shine you and cause you to bring forth light. You're the righteousness of God. So in 2 Corinthians 17:18, I almost got it too small, but I want to read it to you. I wanted you to have it. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which you can see are temporal, but the things which you cannot see are eternal. Listen to me. I don't want you to do this because I don't have time for any marriage counseling tonight. But I just want you to look at your neighbor. And whether they all that and a bag of chips or whatever, just know That's going to change. That's why you can't get married just on looks. Because looks going to change. Come on, somebody. My wife's done been with me through eight changes in my pant size. Some went up, and now thank God they come down a little bit, and they're trying to go back up, but I'm trying my best not to let them go back up. Amen. Some have went through some hair color changes. Some's turned gray, and what didn't turn gray turned loose. So you've been through some changes. Some of you got chest or drawer disease. Your chest done sank to your drawers. All right? I mean, there's been some changes that took place in your life. And if they have it, they will eventually. Right? So what you see can change. What is unseen is eternal. All of which, though, when we talk about increase materialistically, physically, mentally, spiritually, are all essential and each a manifestation of God's great love. When you increase in these areas, it is God's love that He wants you to increase. Anybody with children, look at your children and go, man, I hope you don't make it. No, if you do, you're an idiot. We all look at our children and go, man, we hope you make it. We're going to do everything we can to help you make it. What do you think? God's different? God's given you everything that you have need of in order to make it. He's given you everything. He's given you, but you got to work for it. You got to go after it. You can't just sit there. And so I really feel like I want to give you this. So the first thing that I want to tell you, point number one, if you're taking notes, God's focus is not on momentary things. Earthly prosperity is promised and yet momentary. There it is. So why promise it at all? God's focus is not on your momentary things. It's not on getting you rich. You know, I've heard preachers talk about, well, God wants everybody to drive a Cadillac. And I thought, well, I don't want a Cadillac. I want a Mercedes. Or I don't want a Mercedes. I want a Buick. Why can't I have a Buick? A Buick's good. You know, whatever the case is. But God's focus, though, is not on momentary things. God doesn't want to give you this prosperity, but yet just for a moment. Then, Pastor, why does He want to? So why does God promise it at all? How do promises of provision, healing, increase, success factor into God's ultimate intention? Because that's what we want to know. God, you know, probably the number one question that I used to get asked, I preach about this so I don't get asked anymore, is, Pastor, what is God's will for my life? Well, God's will is for you to give Him praise. God's will is for you to reflect the Son of the King in your life, whatever that looks like. He wants you to reflect the Son. Now, let me help some of you. Reflecting the Son of God does not mean that you are meek or weak all the time. People don't understand. Oh, you're supposed to be a pastor. You mess with my family, I will slap the spit out of your mouth. I mean, you know, but for somewhere around the, we think that we're always got to just take it. No. I'm going to go Jesus on the temple on some folk. Jesus come in there and tore up some temples and took a whip and ran some folk out. I ain't going to play that, right? But what we've got to understand is look at Genesis we got enough time. I think we do. Well, good. What? I started and I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 2 says this. We're talking about Abraham, the father of our faith, right? Here's what he says. And I will make you, in verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so shall you be a blessing. Who is that back there? Is that Broderick? Well, you always pushing on me. I ain't ready to go there. I know what I said. I ain't ready to go back. Why you want to fuss with me all the time? Boy, I'm about to go Indian on you. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh, that's racist. No, he's Indian. He's just, you know. Go call ABC. Shut up. Good Lord. All right. I will bless you and make you a great nation, and so shall you be blessed. And then in chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says, now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So he was rich in silver, he was rich in gold, he was rich in livestock. But here's what you got to understand, is that livestock will die. Right? Silver and gold equal earthly wealth. And according to what we read just a moment in 2 Corinthians, is it's just for a moment. You know, everybody thinks, well, if I just had more money, I'd be happy. No, you would not. Look at Hollywood. They are the most messed up people on the planet. I mean, they're therapists, half therapists. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you what somebody told me one time. You've never seen a Harley parked outside a therapist's office. Save your money for a therapist, buy you a Harley. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. And if you can't buy a Harley, buy hardly a Harley. But anyway. But here's what Isaiah 55 and 8 says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts. Was God's only intent to grant momentary wealth, perishable wealth, to Abraham, or did he have a higher purpose? What was his reasoning to bless him? Was it just so that he could have momentary wealth? No, it was not. Because wealth is not the ultimate intent of prospering. Wealth is not the ultimate intent of increase. Wealth is not the ultimate intent of taking the limits off of God. Well, then, Pastor, you got to tell us what is. I will, but hang on. Chapter again, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. Now, Broderick, and so shall you be a blessing. And be equals in Hebrew verb meaning to become. So with that in mind, we could read, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so shall you become a blessing. So when God has increased, he usually doesn't have just you and I in mind. He said, and so shall you become a blessing. And the blessing to become, to be, means to pass from one state to another. And I'm not talking about Alabama, Georgia. To enter into some state or condition by a change from another state or condition. I'm reading the definitions. Or by assuming or receiving new properties or qualities. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. To be means that you receive or acquire get a new quality or new properties, additional matter, or a new character, as an acorn becomes a tree. So shall you become whatever it is next, right? But God takes you where you are, and he's more concerned with you being than he is you doing. Oh my God, somebody hear me. So God is more concerned about your being. So when you're blessed, it's not just your possession or status that changes. Whew. You change. That's where God's trying to get us to. God's ultimate intention is for you and I to change. How does he do that? By giving us blessings, by blessing us. He changes your environment, which changes you. Because if you're not careful, listen to me closely, if you're not careful, you become, ask any educator, you become a product of your environment. So either we become, if everybody on your street is a Jerry Springer episode, you think it's normal for your house to be a Jerry Springer. If everybody on the street, if everybody on in your family talks ugly to one another, you think that's normal. Now, when I first married into Sherry's family, my wife, her family does a lot of, I call it hollering, but they call it high talking. Because they would talk to each other like this. I'm like, why are you mad? And they would just talk to you, go turn the channel. And they would just, it sounded like they were fussing. And I asked them the first time, you know, after I got to know Sherry a little bit better because I was dating her. And so I asked her, I said, hey, what's the deal between you and your sister? She goes, what do you mean? She goes, I said, why don't you like her? She goes, I love my sister. What do you mean? I said, the way you talk to her. Oh, that's the way we communicate. And so I took her face and looked it into mine. And I said, well, that ain't the way me and you are going to communicate. Because you talk to me like that, I might lose time. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just going, what happened? I don't know, officer. I just woke up. You know, I'm going to lose time. All right? So, but that's the way they talk to one another. And so, it wasn't until, but my family was had its own way of communicating. So when you are in those situations, you got to make a decision. Am I going to follow the path of least resistance, the path that I know, or am I going to get some new information and introduce some new qualities and traits in my life that will cause me to be what God is calling me to be? That's the question you got to ask. All right, so when you're blessed, it's not just your possession or status that changes. It is you that change. And that's what God's intent is, for you to change. Oh, we just want it to be magic dust. And there is an element of God doing that. But the problem is Pentecostals and charismatics are really bad about, if I just had somebody who was really anointed to lay their hand on my head, I know I would change. No. You got to know, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make, not set, your truth shall make you free. The truth that you have knowledge of. The truth that I don't have to live the same way my family has lived all their life. The truth that I don't have to go through everything my family. The truth that I don't have to be a Jerry Springer episode. When you're blessed, your person becomes a match to the blessing that's been imparted. What do you mean? Genesis 2 and 7. Genesis 2 and 7 says, and then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And we became like God. Now, we're not God, but we became like him because he gave us the blessing of breath. He created in us. So we have the ability to be like him, right? So when the point number two is this. When God breathed into man, man became something different than what he had been. I want that to sink in. When God breathed into man, man became something different than what he had been. When God, what should have happened, or what should be actively happening now, is that when you said yes to Christ, Christ came into your heart. He covered your sin with his blood from the cross of Calvary. And then you become something different than what you had been. I remember Gypsy helped me. How was it? 4 or 5 years ago, the first time I met you? 4 or 5 years ago when I met Gypsy, he is so different today than he was the first time I rode with him, because Jesus, he found his higher power, and his name was Jesus. And when he came to know Jesus, it began to change him into something completely different from what he used to be. Now listen, not altogether different, but something different. Because he still looks like the same guy. Except for he smiles a lot more. That's the truth. I mean, I think the first time we rode with him, I'm telling you, I thought, I don't know what he thought. But I think he was thinking, he's a bunch of crazy people. I mean, but I made a point to sit beside him. He still is. That's coming from Papa. Come on, Papa. When God breathed into man, when God begins to work on you and in you and begins to bless you with his nature, you become something different than what you have been. Does it mean that you change like this? I've seen it that, but most of the time, no. It is a process of growing into what God wants you to be. You are becoming. You are becoming what God wants you to be. I mean, you know, somebody asked one time, well, Pastor, you know, have you always, you know, they've asked me, Pastor, have you always been the way that you are? The smart aleck in me wanted to go, absolutely. But of course not. Nobody was as holy and as much as we revere Brother Cash. He wasn't always what he is today. He used to have red hair, right? With a temper that matched and a mouth that matched a sailor. What about little sweet little sister Caps? Surely to God, she used to be a race car driver. And if you ever see her on the road, she still thinks she is. I'm just kidding. But she did. I mean, we could go to each one of us that we were different. I remember, you know, and again, I've got this privilege. I remember when Danielle got saved. Hallelujah. And I remember when she brought that knothead boy. She was going to marry one day Justin. That's right. I remember she brought that knothead. Amen. But thank God he was already saved. Amen. But you know what I'm saying? It begins to change you. All right? So God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you are going to be transformed by the blessing. Whew. Now, I want that to sink in. I'm going to bless you, and the blessing is going to transform you. So that's the intent of what he wants in your life, is a transformation. He said, I'm going to bless you, and the blessing is going to transform you. You're going to be transformed. Abraham saw impartation, but God saw transformation. When you see God touching somebody, when you see God imparting his goodness and his blessing and his spirit into somebody, we may see impartation, but God sees transformation, that you will never be the same again, right? Abraham saw a change is in his, oh God, Abraham saw a change in his environment, but God saw a change in his heart. That's what he's after, your heart. You think his blessing is just to make you where you think you all that and make you like have you so you can walk with some swag? That is not why God blesses you. He blesses you for transformation. He blesses you. He gives you the impartation so that you can have a transformation. He blesses your environment, and he wants your heart to change because of that. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I'm not who I used to be, and I'm glad that I don't live where I used to live and do what I used to live. And the only way that I am good today is because something, my environment had to change by the blessing of God. Come on, somebody. Understand it. Abraham saw a change in his environment, but God saw a change in his heart. How great a change took place. God called Abraham his friend. here's what God was saying, because here's what friend means. Friend means I can relate to this man. Friend means I can identify with him. Friend means we have common traits. That sink in. We have common traits. You're usually not friends with people you have absolutely nothing in common with. You're not friends with them. You might be acquaintances, but you're not friend. But you're friends, right? I had someone tell me not too long ago, there's this great man of God that I'm friends with, and he said, I just can't believe you and him are friends. Thanks. Because he don't act nothing like you. I appreciate that like a hair in my biscuit. And then he's seen him outside of that environment, and he goes, oh, now I see what y'all have in common. See, friend is that you have common traits. I want some common traits with God. Amen. We want to have the trait that we can strike people dead, but that's not what God wants, you know. Boy, it'd be a bad scene if we had that true trait, right? Amen. Ooh, yeah, we'd just be messing with people, right? Hallelujah. Now, check this out. God saw Abraham as such a friend that him and Abraham had a brainstorming session about Sodom and Gomorrah. Man, you know you got influence when God asks your opinion. You know you got some influence when you can change God's mind. My dad, he was a man of integrity and sometimes too much of the letter of the law. My brothers, and he never did this to me that I can remember, but they would go to him and ask him, Dad, can I go? And before they got it out, he'd say, no, 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 no. And they said, Dad, we just wanted to go across the street and play with so-and-so. And he goes, well, I've already said no, so no. He is not going to lie. I've already said no, so no. And there was no change in his mind. But with God, he was such a friend. He said, Abraham has come down to tell you I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, friend, I got family over there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, if you could find 50 righteous, would you spare the city? Well, I guess so. And then Abraham must have remembered the last time he was in the city. And went, ooh, that might be a hard toss. God, if you could just find 20, and you know the story, goddamn, if you could just find 10. If you could just find 10 faithful. So he changed God's mind because of his friendship. Common traits. I mean, man, you know you got some pull. I mean, people talk about some. I was at a place of business today, and one of the people that worked there goes, "Hey, Pastor Ronnie," and he told me a little situation he was dealing with. He goes, "If you have time, you know, if you talk to the big man upstairs for me," I go, "Well, I will, but you know, you can talk to him too." And he said, "Well, but I'm sure he don't know me as well as he knows you." And I said, well, you know, he really is very acquainted with his troubled children. Yeah, just plant a little seed. God was able to use Abraham to be the foundation of civilized and not so civilized world. God are the world's three great belief systems, all call Abraham either father or prophet. Christendom, Jewish, and even Muslim. So I think he was pretty important. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Man saw livestock. Man saw silver and gold. God saw a transformed nature. God saw transformed nature. The blessings or the promises of God are not merely about impartation. They are about transformation, a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of life. Here's what he said in 2 Peter 1 and 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious, magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers in or of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Point number three is this. God's intent, ultimate intention, is not just to increase your wealth or your health or your environment. That is not his intention. His ultimate intention is transformation till we become like Jesus. That's his ultimate. That we become like Jesus. You know, the problem is some of us get saved, right? Now hear me. Well, I got saved because I need Jesus to save my marriage. No, he can help. You know, and then some people, because your marriage didn't get saved, well, ain't nothing to because God. Well, number one, there is more than God involved in your marriage. It's you. And then the spouse, there's a couple people involved, right? if you were my personal trainer, would you take responsibility for me not losing weight? Because every time you saw me, I was at Dairy Queen. Right? You get upset because somebody gave me 24 Snicker bars to commemorate 24 years in as the pastor of the church. And in 3 days, there's only 14 left. I mean, would you? No, I hadn't ate that many. I hadn't even opened them. I hadn't even opened them yet. Because several other people gave me them. But anyway, gave me other ones I'm still working on. The ultimate intention in transformation till we become like Jesus. According to the theological word book of the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for blessing means a verbal blessing. To endue with power for success, prosperity, richness, longevity, etc., etc. Now, its major function seems to have been to confer abundant and effective life upon something. That he wanted to confer, when they blessed you, they wanted to confer abundant and effective life on something. However, it's extremely important for us to hear this. That whatever may have been the ancient Near Eastern or Far Eastern concept of the blessing, the Old Testament sees God as the only source of blessing. He's the only source. And you got to understand that if I'm going to be blessed, it's going to be because of God and my relationship to Him. All right? As a result, those who are wrongly related to God can neither bless nor be blessed. You can't ask for blessing and not be in the right relationship with God. Now, sometimes He gives it to you. Why? Because He loves you. But every time He gives you something, it is for transformation to become more like Jesus. And I was just talking about this earlier to somebody. But how often do we forget what God has done? We have the worst memory when it comes to God. God, I need you to help me with this bill. And somehow God, you know, comes through for you. And then you get mad because they didn't pay your other bill. Right? I've actually had people get upset with me. We paid their light bill, wouldn't pay their insurance bill. They got mad. Really? Yeah, I know it. That's what I said. That's why I send everybody to you now, John. So if you pass John, then you can get down and do. I mean, listen, let me just tell you what a prophet told me one time. Brother, people are funny, but not always in the ha-ha kind of way. He wasn't a prophet, but boy, that was some wisdom. It might be the only thing he ever had wisdom on, but it was wisdom. All right, let me find out where I'm at. All right. Those who are blessed manifest God's nature, loving, kindness, and truth. And man, I struggled. Even though what I read today and what I've been studying, I read loving kindness. I struggle with that because we dudes don't like that word. Loving kindness just kind of sounds sissy. Right? Anybody other? Any other dude with me? Thank you. You know, you got me. See, that's why I love John. I could go off somewhere over there, he'd still be behind me. I got you back, Master. That's 20-something years. That's right. That's what that's from. Amen. But, I mean, loving kindness, when we say loving kindness, most dudes get like, oh, man, that's just like little being a little meek, you know, little wimp, little sissy. That's not, though. Loving kindness and truth, the nature of God. In other words, you cannot expect the abundant life that an impartation of God's blessing brings without also desiring the godly character that the transformation quality of God's blessing brings. You can't expect to just get blessed and the blessing not change you. I mean, how can you still be stingy when God blesses you? Right? How can you not be gracious when God has given you so much grace? You know, I told you earlier, I've been accused of being very, you know, man, you just got too much grace. Well, I don't know about you, but I need so much grace. That's why I tend to be kind of gracious. Amen? Now there, you know, to him who much is given, much is required. And if God doesn't give me grace, if God gives me grace, how can I not turn around and give that grace out? Right? So God's abundant generosity and loving kindness towards us are meant to produce abundant generosity and loving kindness from us. And loving kindness doesn't mean that you're just a doormat and que sera, sera, whatever will be. That's not what that is. Because that ain't what it is with God. Right? You walk all over God, you better be careful he don't walk all over you. You see, what we don't understand is we think that God lets us get away with stuff, but his grace is, he is long-suffering. But there is a time when God says enough is enough. And then when he takes his hand off of you, then you in some serious trouble. I mean, don't raise your hand because I don't want to incriminate nobody. But how many of us have God's dealt with us and dealt with us and dealt with us, and we just kept on and kept on and kept on, and then God said, all right. And then next thing you know, we find ourselves in jail. Right? You find your marriage over. You find yourself living in a box. Right? You find yourself, you find yourself with no friend. You find yourself at the bottom of the barrel. And then, all right, now many of us have found that, but how about this? Then you're like, okay, I'm coming back to God. Woo! And you'd pray and pray. And it felt like God was doing this. Pastor, how can you explain that? Are you ready? Okay. I have no idea. Brother Cash, you take it from there? I don't. Well, does he hear me? I know he hears you. Because he says a broken and contrite spirit, he will know what's cast out. So I know he hears you. But maybe we're just really not broken. Maybe we're just broken because we're broke. Maybe we're just broken because we don't have a house. Maybe we're broken because we don't have a man. Maybe because we're just broken and God is not really what's going to fix us. We think what's really going to fix us, if I make it all right with God, then we're going to make it all right with that one and that one and that one, blah, blah, blah. And we're still living a facade. I really thought I'd be done by now. So come back and help me shut up. It's not just the offering that God wants. It's what the offering produces that God wants. It's what God, what the offering produces is what God wants. It's not just the impartation of increase. It's about the transformation to Christ-likeness. I hope you understand. It's not just to open your mind to impartation for more stuff. This taking the limits off of God. If that's what you've gotten out of this, these few sermons, then you're getting the wrong point. It's opening your heart to transformation. By imparting what can be seen, God transforms what can't be seen. Only God could orchestrate such a system wherein he produces a new nature through the process of reward. Only God could. What man sees is the momentary stuff, the gold. What God sees is the eternal stuff, his glory. Man looks at the outward. God looks at the inward. God looks at the heart. Man celebrates the impartation, and God celebrates the transformation. We celebrate, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. But God celebrates the transformation of whatever he did on your life. Glory to God. Romans 2 and 4 says this. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Let me tell you what kindness means, and I'm done. I may have one more in me. We'll see. Because I really kind of wanted to hit a little bit on this. But kindness means to furnish what is needed. His loving kindness. I furnish you what you need. That's loving kindness. Which leads to repentance, which is a change. That's what God wants for us, guys, is a change in our life. Change in our attitude, a change in our behavior. See, when I was, all right, I'm done, I quit. When I was coming up in church, I wasn't saved. I went to church because my dad made me go to church. Well, I just don't believe in making children go to church. Then don't make them go to school. You wouldn't do that. Matter of fact, the government system would come see what's wrong with you if you didn't make them go to school or have some kind of homeschool of some kind. Because society knows that's important. You need to know that the house of God is important. Amen. Repentance is what God's after. Change is what God's after. Everything that he's given you is to produce in you the character of God. I'll go one step further. Every judgment you've ever got from God. But which one is that? I don't know. I'm not God. But I can tell you this. Every judgment in the Old Testament was put upon the children of Israel to get them to turn back to him. What is God doing, judgment wise or blessing wise, trying to cause us to have the likeness of Christ? Come on, stand to your feet tonight. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Come on, just lift your hand. Lift your hand. If it's been a while since you've thanked him for his blessing, his increase on your life, would you take a moment and just give him praise for it? God, I give you thanks. I give you praise. for the increase in my spirit, the increase in my life. And Lord, I give you thanks because I realize I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve grace, but you gave it. I didn't deserve salvation, but you offered it. I didn't deserve to be forgiven, but you did. Lord, I don't deserve some of the things that I enjoy, but I want you to know I thank you for it. Lord, I want to become. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus and you want to, or maybe you just need to come back to him, would you just wave your hand at me? Hallelujah. I see that hand. God bless you. Hey. Come on and just lift up both hands, everybody in this room. And especially those that waved at me. Just say, God, forgive me. Lord, help me be like you. Let me exemplify the character of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hey. Spirit Life team, come on.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.